Glenn Beck.
New York City, the police are on high alert today. They have strict orders to keep 24/7 surveillance in Midtown Manhattan. They say an attack today is likely. The target, the 70-foot statue of Christopher Columbus. It's Columbus Day. So instead of using their resources to protect the citizens, the NYPD are forced to guard a hunk of stone from potential vandals because it's Columbus Day. I'm sorry, Indigenous Peoples Day, as some groups like Antifa have rebranded it. Antifa has big plans in your town if you have a statue of Columbus. Antifa is calling for collectives all over the country to take action against the most vile holiday of the year, Columbus Day, by, quote, decorating neighborhoods. They say put up a mural or poster or banners. I'm sure the poster or banners that you would get at Party City is exactly what Antifa is thinking about. Did we not learn anything from Charlottesville? Have we forgotten about Heather Heyer so fast? Italian and Americans legitimately celebrate Columbus Day. Isn't it a little culturally insensitive to ruin this day for them? Who is Antifa to destroy a day that is so important to the Italian immigrants who helped build this country? Now, here's the real point. You want to protest an inanimate object? It's your right. It's my right to call you stupid every day. I mean, how does an inanimate object, how does a statue affect your life, really? It's not your right to lead to violence over a statue. Not to mention, it accomplishes nothing. Defacing a symbol is just that, symbolic. You can't tear down the past. What we have to realize is history is messy. Columbus was amazing in many ways, but he also wasn't a saint, far from it. He cared more in the end about gold than the New World, and he treated the natives of the Caribbean horribly. But he will forever be a part of our past. So we can either learn from that, the good and the bad, or we can fail and make the same mistakes over and over again. On Columbus Day, let's celebrate the fact that our history is transparent. For everyone who truly wants to see the whole picture, it's available. It's complicated. It's raw. It's unedited. And that's exactly the way history should remain.
It's Monday, October 9th. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Nothing went right for Christopher Columbus. He had been rejected by every king. He had gone to the king and queen of Spain before. They rejected him. They found him arrogant, as did all of the other kings. He went to the king of England, dejected. That king found him arrogant and foolish. All the kings passed. He went back to the king and queen of Spain and asked them again. And they said no. They were busy with the Moors. They were trying to drive the Muslims out of Christian Spain. They said no, and dejected, Christopher Columbus went back to a monastery where he had good friends, monks. And he had taken out holy orders as part of the Order of St. Francis. He was trying to be a more peaceful man, like Pope Francis is now, also Order of St. Francis. But he was a complicated man. He would go between wanting to serve God and wanting the glories of the earth. And he could never hold it. Finally, the king and queen relented when the head of the monastery that he went to the queen and said, look, I know him and I know he's been arrogant, but he is a changed man. And all he wants is the glory for God. He doesn't want the glory himself. He wants the glory for God. And the king and queen decided that they had just finished conquering the Moors, that the way to thank God, better than building a church to thank them for that success, better than doing anything else, they thought, why not go over, and if there are indigenous people that they can bring the light of Christ to, they should go and do that. And that would be the thanks to God for their victory over the Moors. So he gets his three ships, but they're kind of crappy ships. And the reason why they're crappy is because all the evil Jews have the ships. Why do the Jews have the ships? Because the Jews were being run out of Spain at the time. 1492, the Inquisition is starting to really heat up, and all the Jews are starting to flee. The smart Jews flee. It's another Holocaust for them. So he's going through the harbor, and he's on one of the only large ships, the three of them, the only large ships that really aren't carrying Jews to another land. And he gets out, and things are going horribly. He's out in the middle of the sea, three quarters of the way across. The ships all of a sudden lose all their steam. There's no wind, nothing. The heat was so unbearable, none of the crew members even want to go below deck. The wheat was scorched. The salt meat went rotten. They listened to the sound of water and wine casks busting. No wind. This is when the crew of the other two ships start to go a little wild. And they say they're going to kill Columbus because they're all going to die. Nobody had ever gone this far before. They're all going to die. They're going to die out in the middle of the ocean, or they're going to fall off the edge of the earth. Columbus had been made fun of, you know. Oh, here comes the guy who thinks the earth is round. And he was determined to go. But if you read his diary all the way through, it's for the glory of God. He had mastered it. Right when he was told that he could have his ships for the glory of God, he changed. And he said, okay, well, I need to be the governor of the new land, and I need 10% of all the gold and the silver and anything that we find. And the king and the queen kicked him out. He went back to the monastery. In the monastery, the monk looked at him and said, what is wrong with you, dude? What is wrong with you? I thought this was about God. Okay, you're right. So he goes. And in his journal, he's talking about God the whole time. And the crew starts to turn on him. And he makes a deal. He says, okay, here's the deal. 3 days. Give me three more days. And he prays like he's never prayed before. And on October 9th, the morning of the third day, he sees land. Terra! Terra! They start shouting. His journal is remarkable when you read what he says about the natives, the Indians. He says that they, you know, obviously they don't understand each other's language, but they begin to communicate, and they are delightful people. They bring them in, they feed them, they welcome them. He dedicates the land to God. He's immediately the Spaniards on board. They immediately start looking for gold. Columbus is starting to be bitten by the fever just a little bit, but he's taken by the natives and thinks they're wonderful. He goes down and he gets back on the ship, and they finally make it to Cuba. And they're on Cuba, and he decides to leave the crew, about 38 men, there, and go back with two of the natives back to the king and queen to show them what they have found. They found some gold. He leaves the 38 men there. He goes back. On the way back, because he's so focused on the gold, they almost don't make it. The storms rage. he decides to take beans out, and he puts a cross on one beam and puts them into a hat, and everybody on ship has to draw a bean. The one who draws the bean has to go make a pilgrimage to the Holy Land. And they're asking God, please, we'll humble ourselves and we'll go make a pilgrimage to the Holy Land if you will calm the seas. He pulls out the last bean and it's the one with the cross. He, instead of being humbled, he holds it up and says, look at, the Lord has chosen me yet again, and becomes more arrogant. The storms rage even higher. They put more beans in. He pulls it out again. Look what the Lord has done. He's not humbled. He makes it back to shore. He makes his pilgrimage. When he comes back, all of the guys that he left behind were dead. Why? The natives killed them all. Because as soon as he left, according to the natives, they began to rape and pillage and have their way with all of their women. And so they were killed pretty quickly. Columbus never found his way to America. He was 90 miles away. But I believe this land was not made for people who were looking for gold. That's why Jamestown ended in cannibalism, I believe. Whenever you came to this shore looking for gold, the Lord turned you away. In the end, because of Columbus, about 100,000 of the 300,000 natives died and were killed. They were friends for a while, and gold fever took over. My question to you is twofold. Do you believe that somebody could try to do something grand for the glory of God? I do. I believe that Columbus came over here for the glory of God. I believe he had a righteous idea. I believe our pilgrims did the same. I also believe that God turns away those on this land who were hungry for gold. And he'll do it again in the future, those who are hungry for riches and don't care about him. The second thing is, do you really think you're that much better than Columbus? Do you really think that put in his shoes at his time, in his place, coming over here, finding the gold, being the most celebrated, from the most ridiculed man to the most celebrated man, where everyone is wanting to throw the gold and the silver at your feet, wanting you to be the governor, wanting you to be Christopher Columbus? Do you really think you're stronger than he was? Do you really think that there aren't people that you know in your life put into that same exact situation at that time would have been the great peacemaker and would have been the only guy on the ship saying, no, 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 boys, no, no, now we're not here for the gold. We're here for the glory of God. Tell me the person in your life that could have conquered the sailors alone on that ship.
Glenn Beck.
I was up in Idaho for vacation, and I gave a speech on our principles and our united future, and it was really interesting to see. You know, I talked a little bit about the Constitution, which was a little intimidating because I had a federal judge sitting in the front row. But talked a little bit about the Constitution and how we got here, and what are we fighting over? Or are we fighting over equal stuff? Or are we fighting over principles? And we're not fighting over principles at all. And you know that because nothing is consistent. Look at the Harvey Weinstein thing. Look at the Harvey Weinstein thing. These guys have known this predator has been around for decades. For decades. And they all went crazy about Donald Trump. Well, you went crazy about Donald Trump. How come you weren't crazy about Harvey Weinstein? Because he seems like he's much worse than Donald Trump ever was. Where were they on Harvey Weinstein? And if you defended Donald Trump, how do you have anything to say about Harvey Weinstein?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough on that one, in that most of the stuff that happened with the accusations on Trump happened after he was a presidential candidate. A lot of those women came out after that. And I feel like there's a standard of, we all just assume a big presidential candidate is going to be accused of a million different things. Yes. It's part of the reason, honestly, I haven't believed some of the Clinton accusers over the years. It's just, you just kind of have that generalized belief that when you're a big figure,
yes,
in politics, you're going to get accusations like this, whether they're true or not. The thing with Weinstein is, like, there's no motivation. These are Hollywood people. They're, you know, this is a, he's a big guy making them all rich and pushing liberal causes. There's no reason Ashley Judd's going to come out to bash him unless it happened, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's the standard we're all operating under. However, there's been no trial. There's been no trial in any of these cases. I mean, you know, there's been accusations, there's been settlements, there's been lawsuits, there's been admissions of inappropriate behavior. But we have really entered this world in which a group of accusations is just guilt. And I think in this case, again, I am totally guilty of this process where I think he's guilty because a bunch of people have accused him. That's not the right legal standard, though.
Glenn Beck. Program.
Now here's the big news.
Could there have been any law passed that would have stopped him?
No. He passed background checks, registering for handguns and other weapons on multiple occasions.
That's the senator from California on Face the Nation. The Declaration of Independence, the opening paragraph is game-changing. And we have read them so many times, and now they've just fallen into dusty words that nobody even thinks about. But we've said them in my generation so many times that you don't even really think about them anymore. I want you to think about them as if you've never heard them before. We hold these truths to be self-evident. Think of just that line. If I said to you, all of us got together and we find these truths to be, and nobody even has to teach them. We just all know them to be true. Could you even decide on what those were? Could we as a people today decide what's true and what's not? And so true that you wouldn't even have to teach it. What would it be? The sun will come up tomorrow? We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. They didn't mean to exclude women. What they meant was man. All men. Everyone is created equal. That today is still a remarkable phrase. There are people today that still don't believe that. Kim Jong-un. People in Iran. ISIS. Saudi Arabia. That all men are created equal. And they're endowed by their creator. Wait, what? They're given something from God. All men. Everyone. And there's certain unalienable or inalienable rights, meaning they can't be changed. No man can change them. No man can take them away. You can't change them. No matter what you do, those are always there. So we find these sets of truths to be self-explanatory. That there is a God, and he's done something to men. He's created them all equal, and he's given them something that nobody can ever change or take away. And among these are life, liberty, and property. Why didn't I say pursuit of happiness? Well, because the slave owner, Thomas Jefferson, that you read so many terrible things about, that slave owner knew that if you put property in there, seeing that this was the founding document of the United States of America, that the slave owners would then say, well, it says property right here in our founding document, and slaves are my property. And so we have had the discussion of anything from taxes to socialism because Thomas Jefferson refused to give this chit to the slave owners. Life, liberty, and property. And that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. Wait a minute. What? I thought the government was here to build schools. I thought the government was supposed to build roads. No, the government is supposed to keep us safe. They're supposed to build an army. No. The government is established to secure these rights. And among these rights are life, liberty, and property. That's it. That's what they're for. They may need an army to do that because somebody else from a foreign land may come and try to take our stuff away. But that's what they're instituted among men for. That's it. And they derive their just powers from the consent of the governed. And whenever the government becomes destructive to those rights, it is the right of the people to abolish or alter it and institute a new government, laying its foundations on such principles and organizing its powers in such a form that it shall seem most likely to affect the safety and happiness. Now listen to that. You can't just abolish. People who are crying, burn the whole thing down. The whole thing's broken. You can't just do that. No, you have a right to alter or abolish. But you also must constitute a new government, laying its foundations on the principles and organizing its powers in such a way that the new government will secure those rights that were given to the people by God. And you can't just do it for anything. prudence indeed would dictate that the government's long established shouldn't be changed for light and transient causes. Accordingly, all experience has shown that mankind is more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing that which they are accustomed to. So wait. If you want to abolish it, then you have to change it, and you have to lay its foundations on things that would secure more rights. But you can't do it for light things, transient causes, popular. Populism would not be a reason to abolish our government. But you have to understand that people are more likely just to suffer abuses than to do something radical. So it's a balance in the end. That's the whole quintessential American story. That's it. That's it. That's the American idea. There's nothing, I was going to say more grand than that, but there's nothing less grand than that. But the problem is the rights. I gave a speech on Friday, and I asked an audience of about 700 people, who can name the first five rights in the Bill of Rights? Two hands went up. Now, my wife later pointed out she thought more hands would go up, but they were afraid that you would call on them, which I did. But only two hands went up, and they were right. Can you name the first five? How can we possibly save a government? How can we possibly save our culture if we don't know what rights we do have? Currently, we confuse our rights. We confuse our right to not be offended. You don't have that right. You're going to be offended. Now we're talking about the right to bear arms. These are the rights of nature's God and nature's law. I can walk into a bear cave and I can go try to cuddle the little grizzly bear. And if Mama Grizzly Bear tears me apart, not a single person within the sound of my voice is going to shed a tear for me. Not one. Why? Because the bear has a right to defend itself and its young. That's a natural right. Now, if that bear comes into my home, nobody is going to, well, I can't say the same because people will say the bears have a right to your home and all kinds of crazy nonsense. But anybody with common sense will not have a problem with me shooting the bear in my home because I have a right to protect myself from the big bad grizzly bear. A natural right. Where we've gone wrong is now trying to figure out what right and how far does that right go? We're now talking about how to reduce mass shooting deaths. Experts say these laws could help. Here are the laws. An assault weapons ban. How does that help exactly?
Amazing. It's the one they've actually tried and has already shown in study after study to not be effective.
A full ban on guns did not reduce murders in Australia or in Great Britain. In fact, in Australia, they went up. Gun-related murders. Hello?
I mean, it's amazing, and that's more than they ever asked for even here. I mean, what they have for automatic weapons here is more than they've ever even asked for, at least publicly.
No, that's not exactly true, because I was talking to a friend who was who's very liberal, and I scared the crap out of him, because he was like, you know, Glenn, you know, we just have to, I mean, there's only so many guns you could have, you know, we just have to, you know, there's crazy people own a lot of guns. And I said, really? What's a lot of guns? I mean, you know, five or six guns. And I said, oh, really? because I've got a lot more than that. And he said, he just looked at me like, what? I said, yeah, I've got a lot more than that. Yeah, but you don't have those semi-automatics. And I said, all guns that I own are semi-automatics. I even own two fully automatic guns. What? Yeah. Yeah. A lot of them. Does that make me a danger?
Well, I don't know you.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really
whenever
what it comes
you
down
get down to where the Jews, you know, where you could make the argument that some Germans made for Jews. Yeah, well, this is my Jew. I know this Jew. The rest of them are bad, but this one is okay. You're in trouble territory. Yeah, well, Glenn, I know Glenn, so he's not a problem, but everybody else. Who are you to decide?
It seems like everybody who knew this Vegas guy didn't think he was capable of this either.
You know, and it's weird. What? The Vegas guy. First of all, is there any way, anything you could have done to stop him? He had the motive. We don't know what it was.
He didn't have a motive. It doesn't seem, at least yet. I mean, that
he had to have had some motive. I mean, even if it was crazy and he thought that they were all space invaders, he had some motive.
Just to entertain himself, perhaps?
It may have been. I don't know what it was, but he had motive. He had the means. I mean, he was a millionaire. I don't understand why he had bump stocks when, as a millionaire, you can go buy a fully automatic weapon.
It's very difficult, right?
It's very difficult.
Legitimately do have two fully automatic weapons.
And it will make you sweat every time you even come close to them because you're like, am I violating the law on this one? I mean, it's they're so highly restricted.
And you're one of like 0.01% of Americans who actually have them. Most of them are just like gun dealers at this point,
yes.
right?
Yes, yes.
And you can't buy, and none of them have been manufactured after 1986.
Yes, so they're all you know, historic guns.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I couldn't hand it to you. I'd be violating the law if I handed it to you.
Really?
If you held
it. If I touched it?
If I handed it to you and say, hey, would you just bring this to the car? I think both of us might go to prison. I'm pretty sure I would, at least.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it's highly, highly regulated. And that may be the only reason why he didn't buy them. But there's nothing you could have done. I mean, the people that last week said, you know, we got to get rid of these guns. I know, because they don't have any guns in London, and they never have a problem at concerts in London or in France.
Right. Or festivals, right?
Yeah, or in Sweden.
Nice. Or Norway.
Norway.
The worst mass shooting of all time happened in Norway.
They have no guns.
And no guns there.
Zero.
Yeah. I mean, think of the combination of how you're going to try to stop this guy. First of all, he's wealthy. So normally there'd be a person who might not be able to afford all these extra weapons and all the crazy things that he did, but he passed that one. He's seemingly smart, an intelligent guy who was able to complicated mathematics. He's not just some moron who's going to screw it up. He was meticulous. They were talking about how he brought up these 10 suitcases of weapons. He was doing them and waiting. He would bring up two suitcases, then wait 8 hours for the staff to change over so they wouldn't notice him bringing up multiple suitcases. Again, very difficult. Someone who's not meticulous could be caught. He was very private. If a person was on social media all the time, it wouldn't work. I mean, all of these things that go on, and like, you can't solve all of these things.
And even if you took away his guns, he still would have a bomb, or he still would mm-hmm. have a truck. The protests around the country on Columbus Day are just insane. Yes, greed does kill. It does kill. And it did in Columbus's day, and it kills today. What are we doing about it? Let's talk about the things that are happening today and make a difference on what really matters today.
Glenn Beck.